Joe Coyote, hello.
Cody Coates, how are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been a long week, and my wrist is heavier.
Now, just let me ask you one thing. Did you put your watch on silent before you hit record?
Now I did.
Ah, see? I knew this was going to be a problem. I said to myself, I said, now all these movie theater chains are going to have to make these brand new intros telling people to not only silence their cell phones, but now they have to tell people to silence their watches. And this is going to be an epidemic for the next couple months, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to talk about the watch because you received one.
Yes.
On launch day, correct?
I did. On launch day.
Before we do that, just wanted to have a quick mention here. We posted our first Patreon exclusive after show. This is an after show that we've recorded throughout the month, and if you're a Patreon supporter, you get access to it. And I thought the first episode was pretty good. So if you guys are interested, you know, you always head over to patreon.com/DAU show. We just want to thank all of our supporters again. We really enjoyed talking about Hearthstone and other things.
Yeah. So also other follow up. I got my phone replaced.
Oh, so let me guess. The watch you got this brand new watch, and you're like, I cannot have a disgraceful companion. I must get it finally replaced.
Well, it was more like I forgot to buy, but during the checkout flow, I was just too focused on getting the watch order through that I didn't press the Apple Care button. So I was like, as soon as I got the watch, I needed to go to the Apple store to get Apple Care put on it. And, you know, while I was there, I got my phone replaced.
Now, because you had a couple things. You had the crack screen, you had the sticky sleep wake button.
Also, the front facing camera had started to like slide over, so there was kind of like a black edge on those photos.
So were you able to get it replaced under warranty, or did you have to pay the accidental damage fee?
I didn't even want to go down the discussion with the employee of being like, so this stopped working before, but then I cracked it, and I know it's in the same area, but yeah, I was just like, here you go, it's cracked, because I had Apple Care on it.
Well, you still have one accidental instance, Cody. Just FYI.
So, something that's weird about it is it feels lighter. It feels different than the previous model of phone that I had. I don't know if it's just all in my head, but I confirmed with my boyfriend, and he was like, "Yeah, it also feels lighter." So, I think that
that's crazy.
It feels like something has changed because it feels different in my hand than the previous model.
And you were caseless in the previous.
Yes, and I'm still caseless.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a bit of a psychological, you're psyching yourself out here.
It does, but, you know, it feels different for sure.
So take our listeners back to April 24th. I'm assuming you came home from work and then saw the watch and unpacked it.
Yes, so I came home from work. I went and got it from the people at the front desk of my building, picked it up, and you know, something I had kind of made a comment on last week about losing some of the effect because it's going to be coming in this brown box. You know, the unpackaging is now like wrapped in this ugly brown box for shipping, but Apple surprisingly, like even the shipping box is, you know, they had a say in that. It's
really
not your standard shipping box. It doesn't have ugly packing tape on it. You know, like the on the iPod containers, there's the kind of like orange little arrow that you pull and it unwraps like the plastic all the way around. So they have that on the like brown box that it ships in.
Wow.
There's a piece of tape with a little arrow and you pull the arrow and then the box comes out. And boy, was it heavy. Like just the container of the watch was hefty.
Now, can you remind our listeners of which model you ordered?
Oh, right. I got the stainless steel 38 millimeter with the Milanese loop. So it came in a, like, just a big white square box that says watch on top. Super minimal and clean, kind of like the iPhone 6 box. You know, it has, but it didn't have like a kind of raised shape of the watch. It just said watch on top. Open it up, and there is a big plastic, like, rectangular... It's the shape of the box, but it's got curved edges, and it's maybe like an inch and a half tall. I don't know if you saw photos of it, but it's kind of like this over-the-top container that in itself is really heavy. And you open it up, and then the watch is just sitting there on its side with like the crown up, and there's this little indent in this box so that the, you know, the watch doesn't jiggle around. It's got this little indent where the other side of the watch kind of sits in, a little cradle. And the entire inside of it is microfiber cloth.
Like oh, that's really, nice. I like that. Yeah,
the whole inside of the box. It's a really, really nice container. I mean, just for, you know, what it came in. Very different from what an iPhone comes in. So even at the stainless steel model, they were kind of doing that. So I can only imagine what the Apple Watch Edition container looks like.
Well, apparently the Apple Watch Edition container also doubles as a charging station, meaning okay. You can... Like,
I mean, I still have the box like on the nightstand with the charger just running next to it, and I kind of set my watch in it when I go to bed. But yeah, you have to connect a charger directly.
Now, I watched a couple people do the unboxing and pairing. Like Mike Hurley periscoped his unboxing, and it seemed like the pairing took a long time. There was this progress ticker that was going in a circle, and it felt like, I don't know, it felt like 5 or 6 minutes or even more for that setup process. Was that the case for you?
Well, first I had a hiccup. I thought I got a dead watch because I turned it on. And it just showed the Apple logo for like a long time, and then the watch face went off, and then I like tapped it, and I was like, wait, hey, are you alive? Please be alive. just booting up took a surprisingly long time. But then after that, did you see the kind of QR code thing that they had when you pair it?
Oh, yes.
The weird like rotating statics orb. It's hard to describe, but it was like their Apple's version of a QR code, essentially.
And you just would you point your iPhone camera to it?
Yeah, you open up the watch app, and it says pair, and then it gives kind of the shape of the Apple Watch on where you kind of hover your camera over it and see that it like lines up. You go through the setup, and it asks you if you want to sync all your apps over, and that process did take quite a bit of time. But it does say like, hey, while I'm doing this, you know, you can go ahead and use your phone and whatever, and I'll just let you know when it's ready.
That's nice.
The initial ticking took a while, but then once it got to about a quarter, it jumped to about 3/4 full, and then
of course in Apple fashion they always do that with their progress bars. They're never a steady stream. It'll go like a little bit and then jump almost to 100.
Yes.
Any other unboxing thoughts or as far as the setup experience goes?
No, that was about it. And then from that point on, everything kind of just got going.
So I've purposely haven't asked you anything about the watch.
Yeah, we haven't talked at all really this week.
No, yeah. This week, you know, usually we'll text back and forth, but this week's been pretty radio silence between us. So I have developed a couple of questions. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people's experience with the watch. So I developed a couple of questions that I thought were a little, you know, outside the box because I kind of want to give a fresh view to or perspective for our listeners. So do you mind if I ask you a couple questions about your watch, Cody?
Go ahead.
Okay. So my first question is, in the week that you've had the watch, have you tried to use Apple Pay?
Yes, I used Apple Pay on the second day that I had it, which was kind of a weird experience because, you know, at most, you know, credit card terminals nowadays, you can swipe even while they're ringing out. Like, you don't have to wait. You can just swipe and then it will hold the card until they're done. The cashier hits, okay, go. And then it will say, you know, processing. So I got up there, they're, you know, ringing out my groceries, and I just double tap over. I hear it, I feel it buzz, and then I see the screen on the terminal change, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done. Like, it was maybe a second to pay, which was just crazy when you're used to, I mean, even with Apple Pay on the phone, it's a little bit of a like, okay, get my phone out of my pocket, scan my thumb, okay, or paying with a credit card. You know, those are like maybe 4, 5, 10 second transactions, but then when it becomes 1 second, it's crazy.
So you felt, so you're definitely all for using Apple Pay on the watch versus your iPhone.
It's almost like you're not even paying. I mean, it's so wow. easy and fast. It's just kind of like, wait, did I pay? Because that was really, really quick.
Now, as someone who already has their cards programmed into their iPhone for Apple Pay, how does the setup process work when it comes to the watch? Do you have to re-add those cards?
I had to. Yeah, it didn't, I don't know if that's a bug or what, but I had to manually, like, it, the same way when you set up Apple Pay on the phone, it says, oh, hey, I've got this card on file for iTunes, what's the security code? Cool. But that's not the main card that I use, so I had to go in and re-add my main card back to Apple Pay. So I don't know if that was just a weird bug that happened, or I had some setting wrong or something, but I did have to manually, like, re-enter my card.
My next question, is aside from checking the time and stuff like that, what have you found is your most favorite thing to do on the watch? And I know you've only had it for a short period of time, but what do you find is the most enjoyable thing to do on your Apple Watch?
Man, hard hitting questions here. I think this is kind of the good thing about the watch is I don't really find myself doing things on the watch. I just kind of, when the watch tells me something, I interact with it, but I don't normally go to the watch to actually do something. Maybe to like just look at the weather real quick, but that's on the watch face. So I just kind of look and see the time, or, you know, see kind of where my activity tracking is for the day. But it really is just kind of this device that on our iPhones, you would kind of, you'd always go to your phone, even if you didn't have a notification, to just kind of look and play around, right? Or you would, your phone is on silent, so you look at it every few minutes to see if you got a new notification, and then you end up kind of doing something on it. And with the watch, it's, you kind of forget it's there until it tells you, hey, you've got a message, and you're just able to quickly kind of scroll and look at the message, which is really nice. Or, you know, you've got some notification, an email, or a calendar event, and it just kind of says, hey, remember about this, or hey, look at this. And it's just these quick little things that you can do. And I think that's what is the best part about it, is I don't feel the phone addiction doesn't seem like it's there or will ever happen with the watch, because the watch is, instead of you kind of always going to look at your phone to be connected, instead the watch is like, hey, do whatever you want to do, and then I'll let you know when something's going to happen. And, you know, like, there are, out of all the apps that I've downloaded that kind of came from just the apps that were installed on my phone, there's only a few that I really check. I mean, I'll check the New York Times app just to get like the little one sentence stories about something. If I'm kind of just like sitting there and I have, you know, a couple seconds, or I use the Overcast app to play podcasts. That way my phone is just like in my coat pocket or in my bag, and it's almost easier to just open up the app on my watch and hit play. With, you know, whatever, for whatever podcast. I mean, I really haven't used a lot of the apps that are on there. I think New York Times and Overcast is about it. Maybe the stock one. Other than that, really not much.
Now, have you, like, what's your notifications like? Like, what's coming in on your wrist, daily? And have you kind of, realized that you were getting a lot of notifications that you did not have to receive?
Not really. I mean, when I set it up, I cut off quite a few. Like, I don't have mail come through. With Twitter, I only have like a at mention or a direct message. I don't have mail come through. Messages, phone calls, events, and then that's really about it. I really don't have a lot coming through. Trying to keep it simple.
Have you tried the Twitterific app?
No.
Okay. Now, I know you're using only a handful of third-party apps, but one thing that has been a pretty common thread is that a lot of them lag. Now, you brought up two apps that I thought were a great contrast, the New York Times app and Overcast. The New York Times app, there's a good chance that those developers had early access because Apple did have some developers come out early, you know, to really, you know, work on their application. And then someone like Marco Arment with Overcast, he did not. So do you see that, you know, the New York Times is just a little more responsive and that Overcast is more laggy? Or what have you noticed with third-party applications?
It's kind of like a hit and miss. I would say the lag is not always consistent with most of the apps that I've used. Like, those are the two that I've used most often, but there's a couple that I've just checked here and there. And some apps, they seem like they take a little bit to load, and then I'll open them in again maybe the next day or something, and they seem to load up fine. But I've kind of just like, it's laggy. Okay, I don't care anymore. Or I'll check it on my phone if I really care. I recognize it as 1.0 software, and it's kind of like it being version one. When it does the things that it's supposed to do and it does them, it almost seems like magic. And then when it doesn't work, it's like, it's annoying. And you realize that it is a first gen device running 1.0 software. But then all the other times, it's just kind of like, oh wow, this is magical, what it's doing.
Now, have you noticed in this past week if your iPhone battery life has been better since you're taking your phone out less? Or is the trade-off of the watch constantly communicating back and forth with the phone that it's almost negligible?
Yeah, I don't really think I can tell a difference. Maybe it's about the same. But I don't really notice it, that there has been a difference in either direction. I mean, the Apple Watch's battery life, I think Marco said it, I had the battery life on as a complication on the watch face. And then I saw a tweet by Marco and he was like, you know what? I don't need this because I won't worry about battery life until, you know, it dies. And then I was like, you know what? That's so true. And I haven't had it on since. I haven't worried about the battery life at all. It's not even something I think about. I don't think, oh, what's my battery life on my watch? You know, am I going to need to charge it or something? I mean, I haven't had like late night outs or anything, but I'll just say, given that I had a full day today, I mean, I wasn't using my watch a ton, but I don't really find myself using it a ton, even over the past day, a few days, like, and it's at 59%.
Wow. Now, was there a functionality or feature on the watch that surprised you when you started using it that you didn't know it could do?
Yeah, there were a couple. I mean, one of the big ones that I can't believe I hadn't heard mentioned by anyone is on the settings glance, which is the very first glance that's listed. There are you know, there's the option to put it in airplane mode, which syncs up with your iPhone, which is nice. Put it into do not disturb, which syncs with your iPhone. Put it in, mute it. But then there's also this little ping your iPhone noise, which I'm going to do now.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's, you don't have to sign in to find my iPhone. You don't have to type in your password. You don't have to put it into lock mode. And then you get all those pop-ups. It's just, oh, hey, I know it's within 5 feet of me. It's like lost in the covers or it's in the couch or something. And I can just make it buzz from my watch. And I can't believe no one talked about that. Because I think that's super cool.
Yeah, no, you're the first person that I've heard talk about it. That's interesting.
Another thing was being able to play music from my watch. It plays just on the phone as a speaker. And so my phone essentially became a Bluetooth speaker. And on the iPhone 6, the speaker's actually pretty good. So, you know, it was sitting across the room. I wanted to play a song and I could just do it on my iPhone. And my phone's just kind of sitting on the table charging and I'm across the room and I can just make it play. And it's like a speaker. There's just a lot of little tiny things like that the phone integrations great. It's what it's Apple at its best of. I get a notification on, I'm using my phone and I get a notification, doesn't buzz my wrist because it knows that I'm on my phone and using my phone. Or if I'm not using my phone, I'll get it there and it won't trigger both, right? Because it knows, hey, I don't need to make his phone go off because I've got his wrist right here. I'll just tap him and let him know. Or something of like, when you take it off, it locks, but then you put it back on and then you open up your phone. If you unlock your phone while the watch is locked but on you, it will unlock because it knows, oh, wow. Oh hey, I've got this. He's wearing it and he just unlocked this phone and that's this phone's watch, so I'll just unlock it.
So I have two more questions for you. Are you happy with the choice of the band and the size? Are you still happy a week later? And are you thinking about possibly getting another band soon?
I am definitely ordering another band because for science and for diagnostics and usage, I worked out this weekend with the Milanese loop, which was kind of weird and not that comfortable because it is metal and you're kind of, on the treadmill or lifting weights and stuff. So I already ordered a sport band. I ordered the black one, which isn't supposed to be here. My ship date is May, so we'll see when I get that. But I'm definitely happy with the 38 millimeter size. If I had gotten the 42, it would have been about the exact same size as my wrist, and I felt it probably would have been just a little too big.
So this last one's probably the most hard-hitting question I have for you.
Oh, boy.
When you click the side button once, am I in one of your circle favorites?
Can I get like 3 minutes?
No. See, this is why I prepared these without you knowing.
So they're synced up to my favorites on my phone, and I only have like two people. I have my best friend from back home and my mom and my dad and my sister. That's it.
All right. I'll let that one slide.
Hey, when you yourself get an Apple Watch, I'll put you on there so I can send you silly drawings.
I know. I had you send me a couple of those, smiley faces in the hand before, because I want to know what it looks like on an iPhone and an iPad.
I like them. Everyone's complaining about them and saying they're really creepy, and I think they are a little creepy, but they're also just kind of silly and fun.
No, I love the faces. I just don't like the Michael Jackson glove. Like, that freaks well, me out.
It's weird because it's not like, it doesn't look like it's leather. It looks like it's almost like felt or wool. It looks like it has a little texture to it. It is strange, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's something like, it's Apple kind of going over the top, kind of like they did with Yosemite. Like, all the translucency and all that stuff is a little over the top, and I expect it to be toned down a little bit in the next version. And I think it's the same thing with the watchOS. Like, next version, it'll probably be cleaned up a little more and being a little less over the top and a little more refined.
So that's the end of my questions. Before we move on to other topics, I know you've been taking notes throughout the week. Was there anything else, worth noting that you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, regarding like the watch face coming up when you rotate your wrist to look at it, it is surprisingly like, there are points where it's like, wow, I'm surprised, because now every time I make a movement with my arm, kind of like out of the side of my eye, I'm watching my watch to see if it's lighting up or not. And it's surprising how many times it doesn't light up. And then there's other times where I'm like, why aren't you lighting up right now? washing my hands in the sink doesn't light it up usually, like, because it knows that that's not like, the wrist moving that motion isn't the I want to see the time motion, or I scratch my shoulder, that doesn't wake it up. Little things like that, it's surprising that it's got that down. And then there's other times where I flick it and it's like, why aren't you waking up? And another thing is, I was surprised, you look at the videos and they all seem that they have the strap on pretty tight. And that was something I hated about having when I wore a watch in like middle school, I didn't like how tight it was on my wrist. And I thought I would have to do that with a watch for it to function. But I actually can keep it pretty loose and let it kind of move up and down my arm and kind of jiggle around without any really repercussions. which was surprising.
Yeah, and that's good, because the thing about, you know, say you have an iPhone 5 in your pocket and you have an Apple Watch, you know, what the security feature is, once the watch is on your arm and you've put your PIN in there, the moment it loses skin contact, it requires the PIN to use Apple Pay and such.
Right.
So it's interesting that they were able to give it some leeway, you know, kind of sliding up and down your arm like a normal watch. And I agree with you as well. When I wear a watch, I don't know, the two side bones of my wrist, like if I was wearing a really tight watch, it would really bother me.
Yep.
I had very limited wrist movement. And I remember when I did the Apple Watch try-on, the Apple employee put on the sport like way too tight on the first go around. And I was like, I didn't say anything because I knew I was just trying it on. But I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I hope it's not this tight in real world usage. So that I'm happy to hear that. You got some more flexibility.
And with the Milanese band, it's like really easy to adjust too. So like if sometimes I want it to be a little tighter, like if I'm working out or whatever, or like when I'm coding, I don't want it to be kind of moving up and down as I'm typing. So I can tighten it up a little bit. And then with the Milanese loop, I can also just loosen it up really easily. I find myself adjusting it quite a bit throughout the day. I haven't yet gotten to the point where I know exactly where I want it yet. I end up kind of just fiddling with it. I don't know if that's just a weird, like something is on my wrist tick, that I'll get over, or if I actually am making it better, by adjusting it. But, it's weird kind of now when I don't have it on, I'm like, I feel almost naked after a week of, you know, I've gotten very used to having something on my wrist now, which I thought would not happen.
Yeah, see, it seems like a lot of the stuff that I've been not only reading but listening to is a lot of, there's a lot of software complaints, and I think that in 6 months' time, they could really tighten up the software, and this watch is going to be a solid device, because there's not, I don't know, many to little to none complaining about the hardware itself. I mean, the hardware is beautiful.
Oh, the hardware is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's a really nice watch, and a watch of this kind of build quality would be about this expensive. I mean, it's like, there is a Apple markup, but if you wanted something with a sapphire screen made of stainless steel with this really beautiful band, like, you're going to be paying a lot of money. You know, luxury watches can really at least are $1,000, $2,000 and go up to, you know, tens of thousands. So if anything, it's just a nice watch that sometimes tells you the time and sometimes doesn't. I mean, that kind of sums it up. Like, I when we talked about the reviews, I kind of said that the overall feeling of the watch from all of the reviewers was meh. And having it, I would say meh plus. Like, it's nice. But there are enough shortcomings where it's kind of noticeable. It's still overall really good. I mean, it's... I've been throughout the week, you know, people have said, "Ooh, the Apple Watch, you know, how is it?" You know, and I'm like, it's not going to change your life. Like it can't change your life like the iPhone or a smartphone did, because it is an accessory to that. So, you know, if iPhone got you from 0 to 1, an accessory to that, there's no way it can get you from 1 to 2. Like I would say 1.2 or 1.3. Like it's an improvement. It definitely, the integration with the phone is really nice. It definitely it works really well, but it's not a you have to have this. But when you have it, it's really nice.
So is your Taptic Engine working properly, Cody?
Yeah, it is. And which is, it's kind of a weird feeling getting the tapping on your wrist, but it does totally work fine. I'm not getting of the failed ones.
Yeah, because the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the reason why they're so supply constrained and, you know, people are getting, you know, shipping dates of June and July is because I don't know if it was a single factory of Taptic Engines, but they had it seems like a large batch of faulty Taptic Engines.
Yeah, I read that, but I thought I read that none had gotten out to customers, but they weren't being able to ship them because they were these faulty Taptic engines, like, weren't passing the tests, and so they weren't being able to produce them. It wasn't that they, I didn't think they were getting actually out into the wild.
So the first, like, the moment I saw this, the first thing that came to my head was when I listened to the talk show with John Gruber,
yep.
because John Gruber explicitly said that his Taptic engine failed on him, and the Apple had to send him a new review unit, and that kind of makes sense because he probably got one of the first, first public off the supply chain watches, but I did have a Twitter follower reach out to me in a DM who mentioned that they had a faulty Taptic engine and they had to go to their Genius Bar to get it replaced.
And did they have replacement units in stock?
They did. So
wow.
Yeah. I was, but I believe they said they had a Sport, so it kind of makes sense, but So maybe that was just the normal, certain percentage come off the supply chain faulty, but it's interesting. You know, say just a couple got off the supply chain out in the wild. The fact that they're holding potentially millions, or they had to remanufacture, millions of watches, it's definitely detrimenting, their numbers. You know, Tim Cook, we'll get to the quarterly earnings, but he clearly stated, the demand, we cannot meet it at this point. You know, the demand is so high for this watch, which is, on one hand, it's surprising to people who are skeptics of the watch, but on the other hand, it's not surprising at all because, Apple has proven, year over year since 2007 with the original iPhone that they can pump out blockbuster popular products. This is something that was seemingly out of their hands. I can only assume that once they started ramping up for launch, they caught it because they had these watches. They had some watches manufactured back in September for people to try on at the original unveiling. And of course they were running demo loops, but the Taptic engine worked. So it's interesting that they caught it so late in production.
Well, I mean, they at least caught it before it got out. So there wasn't a Taptic engine gate.
Yeah, exactly. Tapgate.
Tapgate. Wristgate.
Yeah. Apple had, it's almost like comical because there hasn't been a quarter that hasn't been amazing, but they had another amazing quarter. They announced their Q2 results, and I was astonished by it. Well, did you want to go a little bit into that?
$58 billion in revenue, 61 million iPhones, 12.5 million iPads. They didn't say anything about the Apple Watch because that was looped into their accessories, and also not really any had been sold in Q2 because they just came out. The thing that everyone's been talking about with the results is iPad numbers, because they've kind of plateaued. There's not really any, hasn't been much growth with the iPad numbers. And I think at the last quarterly results, we talked about this. I mean, it's just like, I have an iPad too, and I'm not upgrading my iPad. They last, like the iPads last so much longer. There hasn't been huge product exclusive bumps in the iPad line. I get all the cool new Apple tech in my iPhone, which I can upgrade every 2 years because of carriers. And I just don't, I'm not dropping the money on an iPad. I've thought about getting a new iPad, but I just haven't.
It's amazing how many times this has been addressed by us and many others. Like, these iPads, they last. my iPad Air that I'm currently looking at right now, which I have our notes on, like I'm thinking about using it for another year. Like whenever they announce this, you know, whatever they would call it, an iPad Air 3 or whatever generation iPad is next. I don't know. Like I'm, you know, it's a pretty fast iPad. It gets the job done. I mean, I use Twitter, Instapaper, and I play some occasional games like Alto's Adventure and Hearthstone and things of that yeah. nature. And it's perfectly capable of handling it. I think that, you know, there's a chart by Mac Stories, which I have in our notes. It makes perfect sense. If you look at the iPad and the Mac sales, they're almost the same. iPad 9%, Mac is 10%. It's because an iPad and the Mac are, as far as buying habits, are very similar. Yep. You don't get a Mac every 2 years. Honestly, most people hold on to the Macs for like 4 or 5 years.
Oh yeah.
And
I think the same thing's happening with iPads.
And it's so telling, you know, that the iPad and the Mac are kind of neck and neck with you know, revenue by product. It just makes sense. And the reason the iPhone is booming is because the iPhone developed this culture, especially among Apple fanatics, that like, you're not going to wait that 2 years. You're going to sell your phone and you're going to outright buy the next phone. There's many, many people who do that. And, you know, the iPad, the
you
iPhone.
And I.
Yeah, I mean, the iPhone is clearly still their main moneymaker. I mean, 69% of their revenue is iPhone, and it's just fascinating to me. But I agree. I mean, I almost think that it's just these, you know, these news outlets just trying to get a story and a headline.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've kind of just stopped paying attention to the quarterly results, especially after the last two, and then now this one kind of just confirms it. It's like Apple's made a lot of money, and then the same things that have always been talked about, you know, iPad sales are going down, iPhones make a ton of money, Mac growth is kind of going up. I mean, it seems it's been the same trend for the past few like quarterly results, and I've kind of just like checked out because there hasn't been anything exciting really said in any of them. Like Tim Cook usually says some sly little comment that can be interpreted in a million different ways about some new product or something. But really the quarterly results are quarterly results. They're just boring financial results.
Well, that's the thing. I was just about to say it. You that's the key word. It's boring. So, you know, there's a distinction. Apple as a company and the products that they are producing is not boring. But Apple as a company who is financially successful and has been financially successful now for a very, very long time.
There's no drama there.
Yes, there's no drama there, and that's what it is. It's just boring, and I think what's really
helpful. Oh, well, I mean, some people are into finance, so this is probably like super exciting for all of the Apple nerds that are into finance, but both you and I who are not into that, it doesn't really strike a chord with us.
And another thing that I thought was really amazing is so Apple has finally been able to get their products to China around the same time, if not the same day, as they get to the US. And there's this chart of, you know, revenue by operating segment, and you know, China has 29% of Apple's revenue, and the Americas is 37%, and that's super close. And Tim announced that they're looking to expand and have 40 more retail stores in China, and I don't blame him for trying to get that off the ground fast, because China is slowly creeping to be their biggest, you know, money maker.
It will easily be more than in America in a few quarters. It's like once they add those retail stores and they add the availability and they focus on it, done deal.
They have, as far as cash goes, they have like unlimited bandwidth. But there's, you know, when you really think about it, there's only so much you could do. When you're a company that has, when the sky is the limit, you have to kind of stay grounded in a sense where, you know, if you have all this money, you could be spending it left and right on R&D and acquiring companies and you know.
There's a limit to that, though. Like, you can't just throw money at the problems that Apple's trying to solve.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly. I almost have respect for how focused they've stayed, because they could fly off the rails.
They have so much money that every meeting now, they've bumped up how much they're giving back to investors and dividends. Like, they just have so much money that they are, like, they just keep saying, okay, we're giving you back more, we're giving more, we're giving more, and we're buying back more stock and making the stock more valuable. They just have a ton of money, and it's because they make products that people love. Speaking of these iPad results, did you see that how everyone's focusing on the iPad prototype that was stolen, and two, how the person who had it getting kidnapped was just kind of like in parentheses, like iPad prototype stolen, parentheses, 20-year-old kid also was kidnapped. No big deal.
Well, the thing is, they're very cagey on the sentence. It doesn't necessarily, I don't believe it says the word prototype. It just says test device. So who knows? It could just be like an iPad Air 2 with a new cellular radio. Like, who knows exactly what this person
we'll find out soon
had
sure.
in their possession. Well, yeah, I mean, if they
broke in and stole it for a reason.
Yeah, they're shopping around to, you know, Gizmodo.
I think maybe Gizmodo's learned its lesson.
Yeah. But I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be this, you know, this rumored iPad Pro. I think that's still something that we could be seeing, you know, very soon. And aside from that, in the next, you know, coming weeks, I'm very excited to talk to you about WWDC.
Yeah, it's ticking down. Here we go. Yes.
Do you have anything else though before we wrap up the show?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we have links in our show notes, and if you're using a podcast app, you can most likely get to those links directly through there. But Cody, if someone wants to navigate to our show notes via the web, where would they go?
diagnosticsandusage.com/15.
And additionally, if they wanted to interact with you or me on the internet, what's your Twitter handle?
@CPCoats.
And I am @JoeCaiati, CAIATI. Question for you, Cody. Should I keep spelling my last name at the end of these things?
Yeah, because your name is really weird.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't, like, annoying.
Ciatti.
And I write at JoeCaiati.info. That's going to be it for this week, and we will talk to you soon. Have a good night, Cody.
Bye.